But that's this whole idea of fear is just that. I mean, it comes in all forms. We know that. I mean, it can be mental. It can be physical. It's all different shapes and sizes. But, you know, the idea is to learn from that. And I know I have. I'm very happy I did. I'm proud that I did. And I'm sure you've been, well, Tamara, you just said you've been scared too.
Well, sure. But, well, like, Whaley House, we were there twice in 1 month. The first time, started picking up on something in the dining room. And it got so strong that eventually I said, oh, crap, and walked out of the room. But I was the last one, at least. but it had, this left most of the people I was with, there were six of us, most of them ended up sick for about a week afterwards. And we're talking about cops and stuff.
Okay.
But maybe I'm just, I get pissed when things touch me when I don't expect it, and it doesn't matter if they're alive or dead.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's why it doesn't bother me much. And, you know, anger is very useful against fear. But it, guys were getting nauseated, dizzy. I felt some of it, but mostly it was just such a gas, and it was, it said gaslight on TV, so I said gas. it was really something. And when I went back, I got that dining room to myself in the dark for, oh, maybe 10 minutes. And it was quite a trial staying in there, playing with whatever was in there.
Mm-hmm.
It was fun.
Well, what, I mean, about, this is going to be a horrible question, but, I mean, what do you think it was?
I think there might have been more than one anomaly there. I mangled the language. I think there's a repeater ghost. I never remember the right word for that. A residual.
Strong
residual.
Mm-hmm.
And some other stuff. And I come at it from a fictional standpoint. And the people that I go with, when it's more than just Damien, are very open about stuff like that. So I just go ahead and say what I'm thinking, which is exactly the same thing I do when I'm writing.
Mm-hmm.
I just start riffing. And while they're checking out a lot of the stuff that we came up with to see, you know, before it goes public, so we can see if it's true or not. There's some Whaley House mysteries. That was very cool.
Mm-hmm.
But I think there was a housekeeper in that room.
Okay.
That might be total fiction. It might not be, but why was she a bitch? It was that kind of energy. And, you know, if you're around a live human that's, you know, domineering and angry, you feel it.
Oh, yeah.
And this was basically the same thing, only this was whooshing around the room, back and forth, and it actually physically seemed to push another guy. And I had him walk back and forth behind me rapidly, and he couldn't stir up the wind and the cold that this thing stirred up. It was great.
So this was a powerful entity you were coming in contact with. I mean, this was somebody that really, you know, you talk about, and we, for some reason, I've been hearing a lot about this lately from people. I was pushed by this thing. It pushed me in the back. I was walking along, and it pushed me. I felt something push me from behind. I turn around. There's nothing there. And I've been here. We heard a lot of that last weekend about the porterhouse we were at in Indiana. People said they've been pushed in this building. They've actually had physical things happen to them. And we discussed.
I know some people, I believe, that have done that, had that.
Had a physical contact of that sort.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It astounds me because I've never had anything happen to me like that.
I don't
that.
Think I've had any physical contact like that.
I mean, we've had weird
I've been
things.
Touched, but,
mm-hmm.
you know. Not down there, but
I mean, well, I've been tapped on the shoulder.
You have?
Yeah.
Yeah, but not. That was at two Halloweens ago at the bar next to Holly Hotel.
Okay,
see, I've been punched.
Really?
Okay, now you're getting close to getting pushed.
You were punched.
I was punched at Savage House.
Oh, okay.
My first time there.
Yep.
How hard was the punch though?
It didn't hit skin. It went beneath the skin.
Ooh.
Ooh, wow.
It went through and hit me in my spine. It was very painful.
It hurt?
I was in pain for a couple of hours afterwards, yeah.
Did it leave it all tingly and weird? That
No, I just it hurt to breathe and it hurt to move.
What part of your spine was it on?
It's right behind my heart.
Right behind your heart?
In the small of your back.
Small of your back.
Or no, the small's down. So
your
it would
heart's
be in the
funny.
Yeah, his heart's down in. He wears his heart in his stomach.
No,
the
it was basically
between the shoulder blades.
Yeah, between the shoulder blades.
Huh.
And all three people who were with me were standing in front of me. We were standing outside. We hadn't even gone in yet. That was my first time there.
That stuff pushes or pulls on chakra points, I think. You know, energy centers, whatever.
And there is a chakra in that area too. I mean, it runs from
yeah.
your pelvis up to obviously your crown.
Right. There's
yeah.
like 7 points.
Mm-hmm. I know you guys have been touched. I mean, Will, you just said you were. Doug, you said you were tapped. You were tapped.
I thought it was the waitress bringing me something for the cheese sticks that I ordered, but there was nobody
yeah, I got
there.
Tapped repeatedly on the shoulder in the cafeteria at Alcatraz Prison.
Ooh.
You said you've been there before.
No, that would be freaky.
You said you've been there
yeah,
before.
Yeah, well, it was daylight and, you know, crowded, and there wasn't anybody too near me, but
mm-hmm.
I it was, except that it kept happening. I don't know. You know, I tried to write it off because, you know, oh, that's just silly.
Mm-hmm.
But it was really neat. And then I had my, something put its hand around my elbow, you know, like guiding me. But just for a second, because I reacted with, hey, watch it. there was nobody there.
Mm-hmm. I've heard a lot of stories about Alcatraz. It's actually pretty funny. I was talking with another a friend of mine from another band we were playing on Thursday night, and he's always, this one gentleman, whenever we play with his band, he's like, hey man, I was listening to your show, and I was listening to this. He's like, have you ever been to Alcatraz yet? And I'm like, no, I have not been there yet. But of course, we've heard all the stories from the guards and stuff that have worked there and whatnot. You've been there, obviously, Tamara.
Oh, yeah. It was crowded, and, you know, but the place is all stone. It's on a rock. It's bound to have residual. All the emotion that's been there.
Oh, yeah.
And all that. The most interesting thing, I think, were those rooms that are supposed to... The solitary
confinement.
Yeah, and people, all the tourists would stand back and look at them, and nobody would walk in. So we just kept going from one to another, and eventually discovered a great way to take pictures, so it looked like there was a ghost in the room. But
really?
They were cold, but the thing is, the way those things are built, and it's out, you know, by the ocean.
It's going to be
really
cold.
It must be. Yeah, hard to say.
That's natural. I mean, stone rooms like that, we all know. You go in one of those rooms, especially, I don't know how the ventilation system is working in there. I imagine it's non-existent in most parts of the building. It would cost too much to run the ventilation there. I don't imagine especially as tourists to look at solitary confinement, I imagine that'd be kind of cool to look at, but there's no one living down there now. So
no, and it wasn't really down that far. They were just darker, but everything was open. You know, there were windows way up high, and they had windows open too, and everything.
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't bad, but interesting place. I would love to be there when it's more deserted.
There have been some groups that have had the chance to do that, to actually go
yeah.
in that building and do work at Alcatraz at nighttime, and try. And everyone I've ever heard of has had some pretty weird stuff happen to them. Also, to the point, I saw one video. I don't remember where I saw it, unfortunately, but I did see a video of some people that were filming. They were walking with vehicle, just walking through the prison, just kind of just cruising around, and
mm-hmm.
it went from like, yeah, so this is pretty interesting. We're just cruising around, wah! And everything just seemed to turn into a circus for some reason. Next thing I see is somebody running in front of the camera, just running. And these
wow.
people said that somebody grabbed the one lady who was a part of this group said that something literally grabbed her. She felt the arms go around her waist, like somebody
Ooh.
Was grabbing you, like around her waist.
Yeah.
And that's enough to put the hook in you when there's nobody behind you. I mean, that really would... And that sent... I mean, of course, I mean, these people are walking through the most notoriously haunted prison probably on the planet. And
mm-hmm.
somebody does something like that to them. She looks behind her, sees no person back there that's grabbing her, and what is the natural thing? Let's go now. Run.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, cruising down the cell block. That's one thing I've heard. I've heard numerous stories about the place from people that said they've been there and whatnot. And everybody asked me, it's one of the biggest questions, have you been to Alcatraz? Have you been there? No. I've not been there.
I think it would be really powerful if you could go when there weren't many people there. I don't think it would even need to be nighttime.
Probably not. I mean, the size of that, I mean, for one thing, just tell
yeah.
me this. I mean, were you just astounded by the enormous size of this that structure? Because I know it's gigantic. I mean,
it was impressive. Yeah.
That's what gets me, because we've really been to one prison, and we talk about it a lot on the show, and we are still astounded by it. And now that one actually is a record setter, though. I mean, to this day, it still has the largest
freestanding cell block.
Yeah, that's Mansfield.
Which one is this?
That's Mansfield Reformatory in Mansfield, Ohio. That has the tallest cell, like the.
Oh, that's it.
Yeah, the tallest.
Freestanding cell.
It's like what, 4 or 5 stories or something like that. It's huge.
Wow.
But the building, I know, compared to Alcatraz, it would just dwarf this building. And when we walk around this thing, we're always astounded by the size, how huge this building is as far as the cell blocks and things like that go. And to walk in a place like Alcatraz would just be like numbing, in my opinion. Just that fact alone. I don't need to have anything, you know, jump out in front of me and go, boo, I'm a ghost of a prisoner. I don't need
it. It's a lot more pleasant than a mall, though. There's a giant mall out here. I hate it.
There's just about, I think I can name about 10 things off that are much more pleasant than any mall I've ever been to. Without any experience. I'm sorry, go ahead, Tanner.
I think I would have been more impressed by the size if it hadn't been crawling with people. It was just, you know, loaded with people. And that day, it was spring, and for some reason I had decided to take clandestine pictures of people's feet that had sunny shoes on. And then I found a girl that I had to follow for a while to clandestinely take pictures of, because she was wearing a pair of green pants. I'm not sure what they were made out of, but they had zippers from waist to back waist, you know. And I was just trying to figure out what this was. She looked so normal. So I got kind of, you know, sidetracked a few times. I mean, it was really weird.
Wow. Well,
convenient, I guess, but
convenient.
It was her prison pants.
Oh God! See, there you go.
She tried to take pictures of somebody, you know, without other people noticing. That's hard.
Oh, it's very difficult.
You do it all the time.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm perched up in that, you know, the second level of the mall in our town here, and I'm just, you know, with my little hat thing, and I just sit there and, ooh, there's a pretty one. Oh, snap. Oh, she's beautiful. I'll have to get a picture of her and take it home with me.
Solution.
Gotta love her.
Tara, all right. Will's like smacking us in the head going, we need to take a break here.
Yeah.
Will wants to take a break.
I was wondering about that.
Yeah.
Well, let's take a quick break.
Yeah, let's chill out. I gotta go. I'm out of here. Tamara, I'm sorry. I have to go to work.
Oh.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, me too, but
Scott L. works.
I'm still on the midnight shift. It's killing me. So I got to cut out of here. But we have Doug and Will. They're going to entertain you quite excessively, I think, while I'm gone. So, Tamara?
Okay.
And vice versa.
Yeah. It's always a pleasure to talk to you, Tamara.
So I'll tell you what. Hang on the line, though, because you'll be back with Will and myself following the break.
We'll be right back.
My name's Sean Burke, Indiana Ghost Tracker, www.indianaghost.org, and you're listening. www.missourighost.net. You are listening to Ghostly Talk.
Hey guys, what's up?
Her saying, I'm already dead. 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 I'm already dead.
Well, today I let you reach the stand up and hold your hands in some stupid single
dance. I'm already dead.
You're going to get up and scream.
I'm already dead. I'm already dead.
You're going to get up and burn an X in your head.
Ah, yes. We're back. We are sans Scott L. But we are back. I'm Doug.
I'm Will.
And, of course, we have Tamara Thorne on the line with us. Tamara, hi.
Hi.
And just so
I'm reading...
Yes?
Hmm?
Go ahead.
I'm reading your website.
Yeah.
And it says something about Scott L.'s nipples being erect.
Yeah, he tends to put interesting stuff up now and then. Sometimes. Are your headsets on? Okay, cool. So everyone can hear now. We have a guest in the basement, so he does put some interesting stuff up. If you ever wanted to absolutely freak yourself out at how warped his mind is, read Scott L's journal on the site.
Oh, good.
He's
okay.
really funny. And complex. He's a complex guy. So there you go. It's really interesting. But his journals are the most read journals on Ghostly Talk, and that's because he often peppers them with humor. So it's whether it's intended or not, they're always very humorous.
I like the message he left on my phone before.
yeah, that was that's Scott L. I get some interesting messages too, so, but not quite like that. I get different,
I like
different brand of message, you know. But yeah, Scott L's journal. So yeah, the Ghostly Talk website is definitely in debt to indebted to, I should say, Scott L's uncanny ability to put something interesting up there every time. So
about his nipples.
About his nipples or whatever. So it definitely happens. I don't get on the website as much as I would like. In order to get into the chat rooms, because when we broadcast live, we are also in the chat rooms. Will's always in the chat room. And when we're broadcasting live, and you can either go to www.ghostlytalk.com, and over on the left in the interact section, there's something about the Java chat. If that doesn't work, you can always go to pioneer.rolo, rolo.net, and on there, there's a text chat link in the little control unit on the bottom. And I should just put a link in there on the website itself, on our website. You know, if that one don't work, try this one. So I'll give something a try anyway to make it easier to get into chat. But we are indeed in chat rooms when we're broadcasting live. Just so you and everybody else know.
I normally stay out of them because I can't talk and write.
Well, right. Yeah, it's got to be tough to be a guest in the chat room at the same time. That would be really, really interesting to be able to do that.
Yeah.
I'm not.
Right.
I always do one thing at a time. I'm not a multitasking kind of person. I know people who are, but I'm not like that. So anyway, we were talking about Alcatraz. We talked about Whaley House. What other really cool things have happened to you since we talked last?
Let's see.
Because I know you go everywhere.
Well, not really. Did I talk to you before last July? I went to New England.
I remember you talking about New England, but I don't know. I think you had already been there. And you stood on... Wait a minute. You stood in a field or on a cliff? I can't think of it.
There was a cornfield and a cemetery.
Okay, that sounds more like it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nothing much ghostly happened there. We've had a lot more luck lately.
let's see, we were back to Arizona. The place I'm writing about is used to be a mining town, and now it's more of a little tourist town, you know, 350 population. It is incredible. You come around the hill from southern Arizona, and it's called Jerome.
Oh!
And it just... Oh.
I've read... Bite. Even, I think, Catherine Ramsland wrote about Jerome.
I think she did. She wrote about a different place. My focus is on the old United Verde Hospital, which is also a hotel. But it's 95% intact as a hospital. You know, although the pharmacy is now the restaurant. Boy, is it good.
The pharmacy is now the restaurant?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, but you'll see. The rooms have that hospital look on purpose. And
right.
Haunted elevator. And once I got there, I realized there was no way I was going to leave that out, even if Stephen King already did haunted elevators. Yeah.
Right.
Too good.
Hey, a fresh outlook on this, on a similar topic. There you go. But nothing. Don't leave any stone unturned, Tamara.
No.
Definitely talk
I
about
it. Yeah, it changes, but when we drove up to it the first time, there was a huge, it wasn't red, but you know, it was a white 60s Bulgemobile type car, and the owner collects cars. And I was like, oh my God, I've chosen The Shining only, you know, in the Southwest. But the whole town is just loaded with ghosts, and it's not surprising since it's so loaded with ores.
Right.
It was a copper mining town, so it hung with icky yellow smoke, smelled like sulfur. So the title of the book is Brimstone. That's what the town's name in the book.
And this book is coming out. It's not yet released, you said? Is it?
No, not yet released. I still need to mail it to my editor.
Well, hopefully the editor is listening and says, okay, at least they know she's on the case.
Please, I'm finishing it off. I've been out ghosting too much.
I don't think you can ever ghost too much.
I don't think so.
Because I have to say that we were talking about our schedule in the first half hour of Ghostly Talk, and this entire month of what are we in, May? May of 2005, this is the only weekend that we're actually at home for the whole weekend. Other than that, it's out and about every weekend. So, and we'll be in Indianapolis 2 weekends from now, and that coincides with the Indianapolis 500.
Ooh, so, dead race car drivers.
So it's us and everybody else, in, yeah, past and present, and we'll all, I guess we'll all be in Indianapolis that weekend. So that's actually something that we didn't expect. I didn't even know that it was that weekend, but we're planning on going out ghost. Speaking of which, outside of Indianapolis is the first time I ever ran across a ghost light. I've always wanted to go see a ghost light, especially Michigan has their own. It's called the Paulding Light, but it's in the Upper Peninsula. And to drive from the Detroit area to Paulding, Michigan is, what, 11 to 13 hours or something? So I just never really got around to it. But the evidently, out near Indianapolis, there's this thing called Spook Light Hill, and I think that's what it's called. And they,
that's correct.
Yes, and we actually went there. A couple months ago in the freezing cold, and I saw the ghost light. I saw it with my eyes. So
what did it look like?
Well, at first, it looked like a red dot, like somebody had a laser pointer, and it was bouncing all over the road. And then there were these, this is what I think was the actual ghost light. I think that was a predecessor or something to the ghost light, because the ghost light, the one that I think was the ghost light, was actually brilliant, pure, perfect white circles of light that would flash on and off and go across the road. And that, I think, was the ghost light. The bouncing red thing was cute and everything, but I think that was just a precursor to the actual ghost light, which was the this smooth moving, but bright, pure, absolutely gorgeous white circles of light. And they seemed to just emanate the light. Like, it wasn't like a flashlight beam. It wasn't a beam. It was a disc of light, a circle of light. And it would go flash a couple times as it was going across the road. And I'm thinking, is it a car? Is it, what is this? And I can't explain it. There's no way it was a car, because when we drove, you know, out to the road that would have cars on it, it was way too far from there. It's not a car. I was really impressed with that. So I'm planning on going back there eventually, and probably, you know, 2 weekends from now I'll be, you know, out there one night at least. I don't know which night. But a ghost light. Have you run into ghost light mysteries in your travels?
Well, yeah, frequently. although not the bright kind. Thunder Road, that came out last year, was set at Calico Ghost Town in the Mojave Desert in California on the way to Vegas, and a fictional version. And in the last year, we've been hanging out up there a lot, you know, after hours. But when I wrote the book, I knew that there were UFO sightings up there, and they were described as blue orbs and, you know, other things, and it's, you know, surrounded by military bases, so of course there's a lot of other things. But I saw the blue orbs, and they're geomagnetic something or other, but they weren't, they're sort of translucent, and they would come up from behind the mountains. The mountains are just, you know, magnetic chunks of rock.
Right.
But then, the winter solstice, we went hiking up in the mountains behind Calico. This would be where you'd recognize it from Kill Bill Volume 2, the really colorful area where the guy lived in the trailer in the desert. We hiked up way above there to an old Indian sacred site, and just see what would happen. And further down this old mining road up there was a mist, and I checked the geology. You don't get mist that time of year when it's clear out in the high desert. And there was no way that there were lights behind, like what you said, and it just glowed. It kept making me think of the fog.
Ooh.
I was really getting off on that. You know.
You mean the movie, The Fog with Adrienne Barbeau?
Adrienne and her Barbeaus, yes. but it was another sacred site. I think we're going to go back there sometime, but that was spooky.
Well, some of these ghost lights are, they have legends behind them. And, of course, they're usually train conductor lost his head and he's looking for it, and it's the lantern that's bobbing around, or in Indiana it seems to be, you know, farmer is looking for daughter or son or something, you know, that kind of thing. But it's always a lantern bobbing around. This did not look like a lantern, what I saw. It looked like this perfectly round, bright white disc flashing several times going across the road. And I've never seen anything quite like it. So now
Did you know how far away it was?
It was one hill away. So it was, what, Will, help me out, 300 yards, three football fields, or maybe two football fields, 200 yards?
I was closer than you were.
Yeah, you were down in the like...
I was about half the distance away.
Did you see the bright white flashing circles?
Oh, yeah.
As well as the red bouncing light, right?
Because you guys were on the other hill. We were in the valley. There was a whole bunch of us in the valley, in between the two hills. And we saw the exact same stuff you did.
So how close were those lights to you?
About 150 yards. You're probably about 300.
Right.
Where you were at.
So I saw them from about 300 yards away, and Will saw them from about 150 yards away. So it's not like forever from you. It wasn't like, you know, way off in the distance, but it wasn't like right next to you. But it was clearly and unmistakably an unexplainable light. So now I'm really on this ghost light kick because I finally saw one.
Yeah.
And there's got to be tons out west. That's all I'm thinking.
Yeah, I know Jacques Vallée, the scientist that I get a lot of my philosophy about UFOs and, you know, Earth mysteries from, the Close Encounters guy. He's really impressed with the Marfa lights in Texas. And no explanation. And I love things with no explanation. Yeah, I'd love to see more of those. Have you thought about going back there and getting closer to see if you can?
That's what I'm going to try to do. Well, see, when we went, it was really, really cold. And I didn't like the ambient temperature being so, like, freezing. I didn't really have the energy to run around or anything. I just wanted to see them and then get in the car. And that's pretty much what I did. But end of May is much more conducive to experimenting and running up to them and things like that. So that's what I'll be doing, hopefully, if we get time. Because usually when we go out out and about, we end up not having much time to do anything. But I hope that we'll have time to go back there and actually experiment and run up to them and see if we see it when we're there, things like that. Because I want to try and get closer. I'll try and get it on video. I want to get it on video if possible. So there's all kinds of things I have planned.
Aren't a lot of things like that associated with Mothman and all that kind of stuff? You could get close and really have a thrill.
Right. Well, see, I don't get to do the... Like, you can take a story. You've got this amazing mind and this amazing way of saying, oh, here's a little mystery thing, right? No explanation. I'm going to explain it. And you do, scientifically and from a mysterious standpoint, you work it into your novels. I can't do that with my own mind. It's just too bland in there. So I'm just always looking for, you know, is there any explanation? And if I don't find one, I don't make one. I don't have an outlet to try and explain it in a story. You know, I just don't have an outlet for that. But you could. And I'm jealous of that.
Well, I just make things up. I mean, you look at all the stuff that you can think of. It's like reading Sherlock Holmes. You think of all the stuff, and then what's left, and then you bounce sideways and get something really weird. But
oh, of course.
I don't. There's very little that I've ever had an explanation for, except for hoaxes. And I really like it that way. I like the strings left untied. I like not knowing. The mystery is so cool.
Right.
I want to just experience it.
Oh man! Yeah. Well, if you get a chance, if you're ever in Indiana, check out Spooklight Hill because it's really bizarre. It's definitely there, and I know the one in Paulding, Michigan, is very, very remote area, because it's way in the upper west side of the Upper Peninsula, and it's more like the middle of the peninsula, but anyway, it doesn't matter. But it's over on the west side, right next to Wisconsin, and that one actually has a plaque. The state of Michigan put up a plaque saying this is where the Paulding Lights are. it's somewhat recognized by some state authority, which is pretty interesting. So yeah, these lights are, that's my current whacked out topic is ghost lights. I just think they're amazing. So.
Yeah, there's sure something to them. I saw orbs with my naked eye.
Mm-hmm. I've heard that people can do that. I can't do it yet, but...
Well, I never expected to because thousands of pictures I've taken, I have maybe two that I even consider maybe the orb is something, not easily explained, maybe. So I about crapped myself when I saw several of them, and I couldn't, I'd rub my eyes to try to get rid of them. I'd stare at lights to compare what the orbs that those lights would do to my eyes were like. No, these things were there, and other people saw them too. Didn't know you could see them with your naked eye. I thought they were all dust and pollen and rain.
Well, that's what they say they are when you take a picture of them, but I've heard people can actually see them. I've heard of, like, three or four people now... Four or five people, because of you, who've seen them,
and the people I was with could see them too.
Did they look like energy? What did they look like, kind of?
The one in the old schoolhouse, which is the heart of the town, it's built over a fault line along a dry riverbed. It rocks. That place has apparitions. That one was small, and it was. I was looking at it through the window, and it just suddenly blinked in and zipped across the room toward me. There's nobody in there. It was locked up. And that by the time I said, did you see that? It had blinked out, and then it blinked back on several times. Sorry, are you there?
Yep, I'm here.
Okay, that's the cat tried to walk on the phone.
He's not gnawing on it, is he?
No, just doing a little...
dance on the phone.
But that blinked off and on like a a ghost light type thing. But the big one was after that, and I saw something. It was about the size of a basketball. It was kind of a grayish, dull. And I said that we were with three other people, or I was. Do you see that? Do you see that? And one person did. The other two didn't. And it just slowly floated down from a cliff to the ground in front of an old buckboard. And just kind of smoothed out along the ground. And then it rose up sort of in a column. And I'm so sorry, did you see anything? And yet one of the guys is seeing something similar but not the same. And eventually, then sort of, I walked up real close and started talking to it to see what would happen, you know, feeding it. And it disappeared, and then it reappeared, and it was a blob, but it was like a torso blob, like a body sitting on the front seat of this old buckboard. And one other person saw it, and then a third person saw it. Only person that never saw it was Damien. And we had to drag him away because he got hot for feeling the cold spot because he couldn't see the thing.
Mm-hmm.
And that was one of the few times I've ever let something feed on me. And, oh, my, the hangover in the morning, you feel like you've run a marathon.
Mm-hmm.
And they said that this particular thing lasted. It was reported repeatedly for about a month after that before it dissipated.
Wow. Yeah.
My opinion was that it was free-floating energy that just we fed, and the other guy and I in particular. But he thinks that maybe it was a ghost that nobody noticed before. But I'm skeptical.
Well, you never know. I mean, so that's a place of power, though. I mean, you said Dry River Bed.
But there's an underground stream there. The fault lines, you know, San Andreas Fault is nearby, and a million other ones. And this was a silver mining place, but it's in the middle of, you know, it's the Old West. And it's a town that never quite died out and, you know, now is run by the state of California.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, fault lines, dry air, the mineral content, it's a place, just it's a battery. It's terrific. The schoolhouse is really bizarre. You can look at pictures of it on the net. CalicoGhostWalk.com, which you can get through from my site from the Thunder Road page.
Mm-hmm.
It's peculiar. It doesn't look like any schoolhouse you've ever seen. And there were a lot of the old Mormon trail is up there, and you know those old Mormons. a lot of Masonic and other weird things going on there, and that schoolhouse intrigues me. It's not normal.
Hey, you mentioned a couple times UFOs. You said there's you talk to scientists and everything like that. Have you seen one?
Sure. I see them all the time.
Oh yeah.
I'm sure they're almost all planes. yeah, I've seen. The weirdest thing I've ever seen, because I couldn't find any backup for it, was at Calico in last September, and we all saw it, and it looked like all I could figure was it was a slow-moving meteor. It looked like a lump of coal or a hot rock, a lava rock,
mm-hmm.
kind of glowing red and gray and yellow and orange, and one person spotted it at about the 11 o'clock position as it headed west, and it disappeared behind the mountains at about the 8 o'clock position, and we all saw it, and I found absolutely nothing on it, so eventually decided that was a UFO going between two Air Force bases.
Could be. I mean, out there, there's all those bases everywhere.
We were waiting for something to blow up, because it looked like something that was reentering, or, you know, but it was too big. One time I saw a floating luminaria type thing. It was about the size of a trash can, but I think it might have come from Caltech. Yeah, they do their...
Oh, okay.
It was really neat.
Well, I'm thinking of going to the desert, out where in the general area of where you're talking. I mean, well, then again, anything west of here is pretty much that way for me. But I'm thinking of going out there. There's this thing called the Grand Challenge the DARPA Grand Challenge or ARPA Grand Challenge. And what they do is they have teams from all over the country are trying to build a self-driving vehicle, a vehicle that drives itself and, you know, reacts. Much like the Roomba vacuum or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
Where it just, like, goes around and vacuums your room or whatever and then parks itself. Well, just kind of like that, except for it's a vehicle and it can go on missions and it can, you know, like or more like Kit from, what was that old show? Knight Rider,
oh,
you know?
Yeah,
and
sure.
make an intelligent car so that it can, you know, drive itself. And so they're all working on that. Things like, you know, colleges and some are corporate sponsored and things like that. So they're trying to make this thing happen. They're trying to make all this technology, and every year they have a race, and the vehicles that these people make have to drive themselves through the desert 170 miles. And
wow, that's like Belleville Salt Flats. Or?
I don't know. I don't know. But I do know that it sure looks like a lot of fun. And this race is like you get 10 hours to go 170 miles. So maybe when I'm out there, I'll get to go to some of these haunted places as well, I hope.
You got to check out Rachel, Nevada. Now, that's a hoot.
Oh, really?
Area 51.
Oh, yes.
Just don't spend the night there.
Why? Is it hopping at
well,
night?
I'm in California where everybody frowns on smokers, so I'm really spoiled.
Mm-hmm.
I hate smoke. It makes me sick.
Right.
I stay out of Nevada.
right.
But Rachel's, the little aliens' hotel rooms were mainly trailers that were split up. And the other half of the trailer that our room was in was inhabited by a chain smoker, and it wasn't pretty. We got out at about 5 in the morning.
Yep.
But they had like a resident ex-military guy that would take all the tourists out along the road to watch the planes come in at the black mailbox, and we drove out and parked a little ways away and listened. You know, sounds scary. And it was just fun. And you can see planes come in, and when you see planes' headlights in that clear of, you know, skies, they look like UFOs.
Really?
Oh, yeah. And if you go out there, there's a website, dreamlandresort.com,
mm-hmm.
that is, you know, pilots and things like that. They're not UFO nuts. They're people that like to talk about military surveillance equipment and all that stuff.
Right.
You can read about it. You know when to go to see these things. But I'd go somewhere else for, you know, bona fide weird UFOs, which I tend to think are more like your mystery lights.
Right. Well, mystery lights or ghost lights are, I don't know, I don't think they're tied into the UFO realm. I think they're,
no,
there's
no,
probably
my
some kind
take
of
on UFOs is more that they're earth lights.
Oh, really?
Yeah. The folklore, today's aliens are yesterday's elves, that kind of thing.
Oh, interesting. So how the stories evolve over time, you mean?
Yeah.
Because you had way in the olden days, I guess you'd have the elves and fairies and things like that, and nymphs, and I mean, there's a whole huge, rich folklore, and then they change.
And societies, and now it's the space age. We have to have aliens.
Ah.
It's not to say there aren't some, but I sort of think this is other dimensional stuff, and people may hook into things from other dimensions. Sometimes you may encounter them. Sometimes you might create them. Who knows? But I think most UFOs are of the Earth.
And
maybe not necessarily from our dimension.
Very well could be, because we can't explain ghost lights either. So why couldn't the big disc across? Although, I don't know, Will, you've seen UFOs, right?
Right.
And do they appear like they might have an explanation? Or did they appear solid and definitely bizarre looking, or
just one was solid?
One was solid.
That was
one.
Probably military. I mean, whatever we think we know they're up to, they're probably 50 years in advance of what we can guess.
The rest were just really, really, really bright lights. Well, there was one night there were red lights. There's like about 15 of them, and they were being chased by military planes.
Ooh, you saw one of those.
Interesting.
Yeah. Ooh, now that's cool.
Well, I don't think we'll solve the mystery tonight, but but definitely
well,
we can think of
the ones in Mexico recently. Yeah, they were showing up. Boy, I can't remember. It was they weren't giving off heat, or they were giving off heat and not being shown on the camera. They were true mysteries. That flummoxed the scientists. I have friends among them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but the thing, science is very dogmatic. They don't want to tell you it's this or that, because it'll upset everything. So, you know, reading between the lines, and the people who don't follow any one thing and say it may be this or it may be that, they're the ones I like to listen to.
Right.
Plus the fanatics, you know, to get a good broad glimpse of everything.
That's true. What about shadow figures?
Those are interesting. I've seen a few, I think, but I know people I trust that see them frequently.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think?
Well, I saw one once, and the reason I even brought it up is because you were talking about intradimensional, right?
Yeah.
And that's kind of the theory that I ascribe to for shadow figures, because I don't know if it was as real. Like, it didn't seem solid, per se. But it was definitely, there was, it absorbed all light that was being bombarded on it by one of these million candle power flashlight things. And it was a definite shape of a person. And, I mean, it was definitely there. It was definitely something. But it wasn't three-dimensional. It was more flat-looking than a three-dimensional person would have been in the light. It was just really strange, but I did see one, and it made me just, you know, going over the experience over and over again, I've thought, you know, it just seems more dimension, you know, like other-dimensional than alien to me, or ghostly, you know, it just seems more dimensional to me than that. So that's why I mentioned them, because of the interdimensional comment about UFOs. And it really seems like they do cohabitate the same space with us, just they're out of phase.
That makes a lot of sense. A couple of people I know that I trust that see them assume they're spirits or, you know, apparitions,
mm-hmm.
or I think spirits is what they think they are. And there were a lot seen on that solstice night. I didn't see anything, but there was too many people around, you know.
Right.
But, yeah, I think there's something to them. One thing that I see that I used to think was just my eyes is black things. And I'll see them near the ceiling, and they'll sort of be, I call them bats. And then my web collaborator said, oh, you mean shadow rabbits, and she has seen them. They're just sort of translucent, more, not completely opaque,
mm-hmm.
dark things that dart around, and she sees them toward the ground, and I think that's probably a minor version of what you picked up on. It's like, I would like to figure out if those go with cold spots, like if their energy drains, if they're
That's fascinating. Because I've never seen these, the shadow rabbits or shadow bats. I've not seen these, but I've heard of people saying, you know, shadow animals and of different kinds. And it's interesting because I've never seen the that equivalent. I've only seen the man. It's just this
you
man.
You got a good one.
I
only call it a bat because it kind of flickered and was sort of triangular. And my son told me he used to see triangles when he was a kid. And so I think all we mean by that is it's, you know, the form, but you actually saw a real form.
Oh, it was a human form. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, it was, yeah. Well, it was bipedal. I mean, I don't know if
yeah.
it was human, but it was, you know, definitely sitting upright and had two arms and two legs and a hat on. Don't ask. I don't know why he was wearing a hat.
I saw an apparition like that. Jeff Belanger, GhostVillage.com's book,
mm-hmm.
Encyclopedia of Hauntings, is coming out, I think, August. Maybe it's September. August, I think. I wrote up the San Francisco Bay Bridge and several other ones, but that was a major apparition. But he looked real. I don't know that I've seen anything human shape that didn't look like it was just you could reach out and touch him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the one actual ghost I saw once was real. Like the fellow, you know, that you'd encountered going into the lavatory, the men's lavatory.
Yeah.
Waiting
yeah.
and waiting and waiting, and he never came out because he wasn't real. Or he was not.
I love that one.
Yeah, he was not.
From ghosts.
He was a ghost, yeah. Well,
yeah.
mine stepped out in front of the car, and I almost killed Scott L. because I braked suddenly, and he wasn't prepared. I thought I was going to hit him. But it wasn't a person. It was a ghost. So I couldn't hit him, but it was as real as anybody, you know, physical.
Did it make you wonder, you know, if you were nuts or not for a few minutes?
Well, for a few minutes. Well, yeah, trying to explain myself to Scott L., yeah. He thought I was nuts, that's for sure. But, yeah, no, I had seen that one once, but, interesting.
Wow.
What's on
that's always a problem.
What's on the agenda for you? What things are coming up?
Oh, let's see. September is the GhostCon International on the Queen Mary, and there's a link from tamarathorne.com and honster.net, my website.
Mm-hmm.
And, let's see, November I'm doing emceeing and speaking at the Port Townsend, Washington. It's aghost.org.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And
did the amateur? What is it? Amateur ghost hunters
ghost
of
hunters
Seattle,
Tacoma.
Tacoma. Yes.
And Port Townsend is great. They're using an old fort, which is my favorite thing. I love the old army stuff.
Oh, wow.
So that'll be nifty. And mostly, I need to sit here and write. I do a competing radio show. Well, it's not competing, it's different days.
Right.
And I've got to get a nonfiction book together because I seem to be doing so much ghost work. So we've got a lot of private investigations coming up so that I can do that book. And it'll be all investigations that I've been in on.
Well, I look forward to all of your books, but that one in particular, ooh. That's going to be good.
Yeah, that's a really great excuse to go get into places most people can't go.
Well, of course.
It's an excuse.
An excuse to treat yourself to a really cool event. I know.
It is.
Man.
Yeah.
Well, the
carry heat, so I'm not afraid.
Do you have any ideas? I mean, are you already working on the outline for that, or are you like, is it in your head?
Well, I've got some of the experiences already. You know, I've written down parts. That I always keep track of what really happens so that my brain doesn't change them.
Right.
In the meanwhile, so I have notes, but we have several coming up that will be fun and. Another in San Diego, and it's not well known, and a private house we're supposed to do soon as I'm done with my deadline.
Right.
You know, things like that. So,
wow.
Yeah, I've got to get on that at the same time as I'm doing my next book.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm so looking forward to it. I'm telling
wow.
you, I can't even express in words how much I'm looking forward to that. Of course, all of your books are just absolutely amazing, and they're orderable through TamaraThorne.com, right?
Well, you can
and Amazon.
You can find links from there.
Right,
yeah.
Links from there. And
I'll be signing June 18th, and there's a link on the page to find out about that.
Oh, excellent. And when are you going to come to Michigan?
When somebody asks me to come be their speaker.
Well, we're going to have to get
let's be blunt.
We're going to have to get those ghost conventions and stuff going and get them to start happening so that we can have. Although there is one, there's what the Southeast Michigan Ghost Convention every year that's coming up, but the I think it's in fall. Well, when is the Cindy's convention, do you know? October? Is it October?
I thought it was in August, but
August?
It might, I don't know.
Good question.
Hold
well,
on.
There's a link on our site somewhere, so I mean,
oh, okay.
But we do have them. It's just I'm not involved in organizing them. I should probably get with Cindy eventually and say, all right, tell me everything that's going on so I can talk intelligently on this topic. But you know that rarely happens. But anyway, so yeah, that would be so cool. But all right,
yeah.
Until we get that going. You're going to be speaking in Washington. You're going to be speaking, of course, on the Queen Mary, or you're going to be at the Queen Mary, right, for the Ghost Con?
Yeah, speaking.
Speaking.
Yeah, all that.
And you're working on this book, this nonfiction book. Is this the first nonfiction?
Yeah, well, I'm just putting finishing touches on the one that should have been out already that I've been slow on, my novel. And I'm fixing a new novel up, which will be Western-oriented, too.
Mm-hmm.
I really like that stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And, Deadwood's going to start in a minute. I live for that show. And, I'm going to have to do nonfiction, too.
Oh, man.
No doubt about it.
Would this be the first out of Tamara Thorne? First nonfiction?
Under the Tamara Thorne name, I did a cat encyclopedia under another name once.
Okay. So no stranger to nonfiction.
No, I'm an old journalist.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah, I have articles all over the place, and a lot of them in Belanger's, encyclopedia, mostly, Deadwood, and
mm-hmm.
of course, and, La Parisima Mission, Western haunts.
Wow. Okay, Will, did you find out information?
Yes, it's October 8th.
October 8th, okay.
From 3 p.m. to midnight.
So we do have them. It's just a matter of getting you out to one eventually.
Yeah. Writers don't make that much money. I'm not the jet setter you think I am.
I don't know. I'm jealous. So anyway, I'll tell you what. We do have to wrap it up because following Ghostly Talk is W Paranormal. So we have to let them have some airtime as well. And it's always interesting. The gang at W Paranormal, Rob and everybody, is, they're awesome show, and I can't wait to get, to listen to them. So we do have to let you go, Tamara. Your website is tamarathorne.com.
Yeah, and
Honster.net. And I'm looking forward to all of your upcoming projects.
Oh, thank you. I'm looking forward to listening to you guys.
Oh, no! Let us embarrass ourselves over and over again every week.
We
have a lot of fun, and we learn a lot. Like, I learned a lot. I learned a lot from you tonight. I learned a lot every time we talk to you. Thank you, Tamara.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. So, next time. Until next time, because we have to have you on again, right?
Oh, please.
So until next time, you can get in contact. Yeah, so keep in touch with Scott L, because I know you guys email back and forth, right?
Yeah, now and then. But tell Will I want to hear that spanking thing again, too.
Oh. We'll play that on our pre-shows, I think.
Okay.
Thanks, Tamara.
Okay, thank you.
Good night.
Good night.
Bye-bye. Tamara Thorne of TamaraThorne.com. Always a pleasure to talk to her. Oh, my gosh. She's a font of information. And she's a bundle of energy, too. I mean, look at all the places she goes and all the books she writes. She has a huge, what do they call it, catalog? I don't know. What's an art? I know. She has a huge bunch of books that she's written. So, there you go. The library, yes, a library of books that she's written. She's written a lot of books, and I'm definitely looking forward to her upcoming works. We do indeed have to sign off and give the airwaves or wires or whatever they are on the internet radio over to W Paranormal until next week. And next week, do you know who do we have next week?
Rich and Karen from A Life's Gift.
Oh, excellent. Rich and Karen from Life's Gift. Until then, this has been Ghostly Talk. Listen up again next weekend, next Sunday night from 7 p.m. till 9 p.m. Eastern Time, where we'll be back live on the air. Until then, I'm Doug.
I'm Will.
And Scott L., I will say, I'm Scott L., but no, that doesn't work, does it? Scott L. will be with us again next week, too, as well. So thank you so much, everybody, for listening. Talk to you then.
Science will not deny the existence of things because they cannot be weighed and measured. It will rather lead us to believe that the wonders and subtleties of possible existence surpass all that our mental powers allow us clearly to perceive.
We must ignore no existence whatsoever. We may variously interpret or explain its meaning and origin, but if a phenomenon does exist, it demands some kind of explanation.
A quote from The Principles of Science, William Stanley Jevons, 1835 to 1882.